AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This summer, when you're on the go, stay connected to what matters most with access to over 3 million Cox Wi-Fi hotspots. Learn more at cox.com.
Ask Ashley the Podcast is sponsored by Cox.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
Come on, turn up.
You're a bit anxious.
I hate the unknown, but maybe so, as I said, this is therapy for it.
I think this is episode 52, season 10 of the Fighting God podcast. I think it is. If it isn't, forgive me.
Nice.
But Kieran from Memory Lane podcast, I've been on that podcast a couple of times where you talk about great moments in Spurs' most recent history, also to the 80s, where you talked about some of the stuff that was going on back in them days with your dad. And so we brought you on because we thought it's a really good pod, Kieran. It's really like you're doing good
Thank
work.
You.
You're producing content's such a fucking wanky word, but you're producing a podcast that is well worth listening to. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's the first time in ages
that a Spurs podcast has come out, and I thought, you know what, I'll listen to that the next time they put something out. So, yeah, fair play. So, to tell us a little bit, actually, before we do that, sorry, Spooky's also on the line. How are you doing,
Spooky? All right, I'm good, mate.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been on.
Too long, but it's good to be back.
Yeah,
you even are, with the technical problems before the pod.
Let's not talk about that. Doesn't matter.
No, let's not talk about the technical problems.
Spook, have you actually, before we start, did you say that you and Kieran had a little bit of a set to on Twitter?
Not quite. Well, he sent me a text that made me feel really important, and it turns out he sent the DM to the wrong person, so he kind of bodied me digitally. So I was buried.
What was that, Kieran?
I had a stinker. I had a stinker. I'm sure he'll enjoy this, but I was supposed to message Ricky.
Oh, well, there you go.
I was going through my DMs, and me and Spooky have chatted a bit in the past, and I got my Fighting Cock members missed, which was pretty embarrassing. But thanks for bringing it up, Flav.
No, I mean, I didn't know anything about it. Why would I? But
you've been forgiven. It's all good.
So when you sent that message going, Kieran, when you realised, oh shit, Spooky's not Ricky, and it's not even like they don't even look alike, like, they don't even sound alike. How have you done that, Kieran?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I was thinking about ways how I could get out of it, and you can't obviously delete messages on Twitter. I was going to go with just, yeah, wrong person, sorry mate, and then I thought the best way to get out of it was just to be honest. Yeah. And just give him a heartfelt apology and then change the subject very quickly. And we went on chatting about something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you say Spurs are shit, aren't they?
Spooky and I have chatted a bit in the past. We were both quite into playing PlayStation. When the new PS5 come out, we spoke about it back then. So he probably thought it was a bit weird that we last spoke in like August, maybe 2020. So me just dropping a message saying, yeah, how are you finding the PS5? Which is a shame, because if we might not have had this conversation, you might have just thought I was a nice guy and just checking in on him. But now he knows I just felt really guilty.
Kieran, tell us about Memory Lane podcast. What are you up to there? Why did you start it?
Yeah, so thanks for your kind words, Flav. It's something that I don't know if people might remember or not, but about 7 years or so ago, I used to host a separate Spurs podcast. Which I thought it was a big secret that's Windy doing the theme tune. And at the time, he was like, don't tell anyone. And I've kept it a secret for 6 years. No one knows apart from me and Windy. And even Windy didn't even admit that it was him. And I was chatting to you, Flav, and I thought, I'd finally, it's time now to just break the secret. And you straight away were like, of course it's Windy. Like, we're his best mate. We know it's his voice.
Actually,
it's catchy, yeah.
One of the catchiest.
I wish it was the biggest. So I wanted to come back and do something like that again. I enjoyed it, with lockdown and whatnot. We've got a lot more spare time, and I generally did really enjoy doing it. So I was trying to think about the avenues we could take coming back. And I didn't really, as you said, Flav, it's the first pod that you've listened to in a while that's sort of Spurs based, but that you've enjoyed listening to something a little different. There's so many podcasts, and all of them do a decent job of sort of chatting about the last game, the next and whatnot. And I didn't want to just come back and just do that. It would have been easy to, and it would have been fine, but I wanted to try and do something a little different. So I was trying to think about the things that I love talking about. And like most football fans, we enjoy talking about our good pastimes. It probably helped when I was thinking what to do that we were playing a bit. We were shit in real life at the time. So thinking about the current times didn't exactly sell it to me. So yeah, trying to think about some good pastimes. That's the idea of it. Quite a broad topic. I enjoy talking to you mentioned the episode of my dad. I've always enjoyed talking to my dad about his stories growing up. He'd telling me stories about his dad watching football. That's a part of being a fan that I've always been fascinated by. So really, I just wanted to create a platform that allowed me to chat about that more than anything else. And if people listen to it, then great.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like I said, it's really, really good. And you're putting something out there that I'd want to listen to. And I've, you know, like doing a podcast, Patreon, you know, the 30% content that we produce, it's a lot of Spurs during the week. And then you've got people around you want to talk about Spurs. You've got people message you constantly about Spurs. It's like I'm Spursed out a little bit. But when you know, your idea around that the Memory Lane podcast, it just kind of it felt good talking about Tottenham again. It weren't just about what goes on in the Premier League and whether or not Harry Kane is going to leave this summer, which we'll come on to because we've got to talk about it. Of course, we've got to talk about it. But it's almost like it's not. It doesn't matter what happens in the future. You look back at the glorious moments we had, and you got. I was on your podcast talking about Ajax, and then more importantly, I think me and Ricky were talking about the two Prague games. The first one I attended to and Ricky attended the second. And when we were talking about that, it just made me realise or cemented what it means to be not just Spurs, but just a fan going abroad or following your football club. Doesn't matter whether it's in Prague or you're going up to Birmingham or wherever it might be to watch Spurs play football. That there's so much around Spurs that isn't like steeped in how well you do on the football pitch. Like we could be 15th in the league. If we're having a Europa League campaign, there are going to be thousands of people creating stories and just experiences that they wouldn't, it wouldn't matter if they were fourth in the league or first.
Yeah.
They're still going to have 100%. Those instances. Spook, what do you make of that idea that, you know, looking back is more important than looking forward? Like, the you know, holding on to those small moments of glory if it happens on the football pitch or experiences if it happens off the pitch. Like, remember that story you told about and you wrote about in the Fighting Cock fanzine 7 or 8 years ago about you finding a micro dot in your pocket and going up to Manchester on your own and taking acid and watching football. We were shit then, right?
And this is it. It's always about moments, isn't it? Like you, when you look back on anything in your life, you're not looking back and talking about what you're doing on your own. I mean, on that occasion, I wasn't my own, but I was in amongst Tottenham supporters. But when you're looking back at cup semi-finals or away days, you're talking about the stuff that you did with your mates. You know, you're like a tribe within a tribe. And with football, yeah, you talk about the actual football game, but so much of it means something because you've got people there that mean something to you. And that connection, you'll always have that connection with those people. And you'll always have those memories associated to those people. That kind of anchors in that like, time stamp in your lifetime. And then the football is just the fun bit. That's the release bit. So it's always like now, people, I was thinking about this the other day. If we end up winning something this season, I'm so exhausted by everything that's happened. Like on the pitch, off the pitch, the discussions, the way that I'm constantly trying to philosophize and trying to balance the good and the bad and try to find somewhere to land where I think, yeah, you know what, this season was worth it because at the end we won the League Cup, for example, if we won it. But then you look back on it, and what have you got to anchor yourself to it? And I know it doesn't quite work out with the pandemic. We're all sat at home and whatever else. But when you think about how football works, you know, you want something that pulls you back into that moment. And the games that like Kieran covers are obviously iconic. I mean, I talk about the 1991 semi-final against Arsenal, that entire day, the build-up to that match, like it was yesterday. I can't remember what I did this morning. Like, I lose keys all the time, and I've literally had them in my hand like 5 minutes ago. Whereas I can remember, it's not just the football I remember. I remember faces of people in the queue, like at White Hart Lane, queuing up for tickets for the semi-final. I remember this guy with a massive jumper, massive cockerel on the jumper, and I remember the guys in front of me laughing at him. Like, did your mum knit that? It's fucking awful. Like, I got it from the Spurs shop. It's just stuff like that that still resonates 20, 30 years after it happened.
Imagine saying that to another man who just put the jumper on, just thinking, this is fine.
Like, he definitely still remembers it.
Yeah. Did your mum knit that? You fucking cunt. It's like, it's not on, is it? It's not on. But yeah, like you're exactly right. And I remember I remember in that 1991 semi-final against Arsenal and experiencing that on my own. No, sorry, my bad. I watched the 91 semi-final where Gascoigne scored the free kick, and I was with my three brothers at that time. And we got through that game and went to the final, and I had to watch that on my own. And Des Walker scored the own goal.
Yeah.
And I ran down the street on my own in Holloway, on my own, just going, yes, yeah. And I, do you know what? I wouldn't, as much as I'd love to have, I loved the fact that my dad might have picked me over my brothers to take me to Wembley. He didn't. That as much as, you know, that is painful, I actually look back at that moment as, that was my formative years. That was my foundation as a Spurs fan. Like that was the most glorious moment we've had in nearly 40 years. 40 years. Is it?
It was 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Years. Yeah. Right. I've been alive for nearly 40 years. Yeah, you're right. So 30 years, that is the most glorious moment of my life. And I look back at it and think, yeah, it was fantastic. But then you think about Prague, and I have more memories and more stories to tell about Prague than I do have about winning the League Cup in 2008 under Wande Ramos, which is only 24 months later. Got more stories, more positive experiences about those moments in an inconsequential qualifying tournament in the UEFA Cup, as it was, than I do have winning that trophy. And maybe
it's the whole point of it, Flav, is maybe I've started this as more of like a subconscious defensive mechanism about how we get prodded every day about the no trophies. And I'm just you both just spoken in the first 10 minutes here about past memories. You can see how passionate you are of them. Everyone loves talking about them. It's effectively just trying to redefine the word glory, I guess, because so many now this is the whole sort of Twitter culture taking over football, and I know that's not representative of your average fan, but so much emphasis on nowadays, and this really stems from Pochettino's reign and how different fans view him. There's so much emphasis on winning trophies, and that if you don't win the ultimate, then everything along the way was just pointless. And you try to tell everybody who experienced that night in Amsterdam, even the final up until the game, you try to tell those people that it wasn't worth it. Football, how many teams win a trophy each year? All those teams that don't, what are you saying? That it's pointless at that point? It's a pretty miserable outset if that's how you view football. So hopefully, listen to some of the episodes on the pod. People will appreciate just what makes it as a fan just so special.
There's glory felt by people that fans that survive the Premier League on the last couple of days of the season. Like the way the Aston Villa fans and the club and the players celebrated staying up when Souness Roy Keane had a go at them for celebrating staying up in the Premier League. As a player, never had to experience anything like that, so he doesn't know what it means. Do you know what I mean? But Micah Richards was laughing at him for being so dour and sour about Aston Villa players celebrating staying up. But that's glory. In that moment, that's glory. Yeah. That's the same. What they're feeling in that moment is the same feeling when a team wins the FA Cup, when a team qualifies for the Champions League. The feeling that us as fans had when Pete Crouch headed that goal against Man City in 2010, that feeling was replicated in Birmingham with Aston Villa's fans and their players when they stayed up. So, like, it's a little bit pious to say, no, it's only glorious. You can only feel glory, or you can only feel superb or fantastic as a when you follow your football club if it's a positive thing rather or a progressive thing. Like finishing the top four, really, as we know, as Arsenal know, as we know, as many teams know, finishing the top four really often doesn't lead to anything at all. But being like staying up in the Premier League, as we've seen with Villa this season, had a massive influence. So
yeah, absolutely.
There's glory everywhere. There's glory everywhere. And if you can't see that, you're a dick.
Success is defined in a million different ways. For me, Pochettino was successful. because of the connection he brought back with the fans. And people will disagree with that. People will call him unsuccessful because he didn't ultimately win anything. But for me, how I viewed his success was that, and we talked about it with Martin Jol in a slightly different sense, but for what Poch done as fans and made us connected with the club again after a few years of it was torrid, wasn't it? So for me, yeah, it's defined in so many different ways, and that's what we're trying to get at with it.
Yeah, so go and listen to the Memory Lane podcast. Kieran's doing a magnificent job. And it's just decent, wholesome Tottenham content that doesn't rely on or depend on how well the team's playing. And that's what I love about it, Kieran. You're doing a good job, mate. Really good.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate you.
I do have a more important question to ask you. So are you ready?
Yeah.
No, well,
yeah.
Are you
I'm
ready.
Yes. Yeah. I'm ready. Okay. I'm not sure I am, but yeah, go on.
Mystic Polka, he says, what's the strangest way a man can compliment another man's penis?
I think it's just a nod.
Yes.
Just a silent nod. It sometimes can be, I guess it could be a little weird. Not many men have nodded to me standing next to me in the urinal. Maybe that's saying something. It's just a nod. I think it gets weirder if it comes out of your mouth, the words complimenting someone else's penis, I guess that becomes weird. But I think the line is drawn with just a nod of approval. We've all had it. Some may not have, but maybe I'm just a giver of the nod rather than a receiver. But for me, that's the perfect way.
Spooky. Have you ever looked at another man in the urinal and thought and said, fair play? I think we lost Spooky. I think that sometimes you can look at another man. This is the thing, is like what every man who's listening to this will know the etiquette of when you're in your urinals is you don't look, you don't have your phone out. Like, I don't agree with people pissing and having their phone out because the phone might just go up and have like a little snap of my piece. But
their way of complimenting you.
What, taking a photo of your cock? There isn't a penis on earth that looks decent when urine is coming out of it.
What have I missed?
You've missed.
Welcome back.
Spooky, there's a question here. What's the straightest way a man can compliment another man's penis? What's the straightest way?
I'd use that in an emergency.
I'd use that in an emergency. That's fantastic.
if my fell off, I'll be like, oh, that'd do as a replacement.
Yeah, if I needed to save a fair maiden, if her name was Rapunzel, and her hair wasn't long enough, I could swing my cock up there. And
it's quite funny, Flav. I've obviously listened to the podcast for a while, and it's always something everyone would love to be on Fighting Cock. Like, I've always wanted to be on it, and now being on it for the first time, making my debut, I don't think there's more of a perfect way to introduce myself and to be asked a question like that.
I mean, I'm not sure. Is that a compliment? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Thank you. Let's take it as a compliment.
Spook.
Yes.
We've got a question from George Kelly. I'm going to read out his Twitter user handle just so that you can see what I'm seeing. It's George K 52415464644.
Why?
There's a lot of George K's.
I don't know, it feels like a bot. But he comes up with a good question. How aggressively bored are you of Harry Kane has to leave Tottenham chat after every time he plays well and scores or we lose? Spook, where are you at?
I'm hemorrhaging. It's just, and I get why media outlets and journalists and pundits and Paddy Power, Twitter accounts, the lot. I know why they do it. They do it because it feeds into the Spurs supporters that are going to react and the rival supporters that are going to retweet and laugh about it. And it's just content. It's just a way of getting engagement and the way of talking about something. You've got 24-hour news sports channels. They've got to have something to talk about. And even when Kane was knocking them in during peak Poch, the stories were about him. Can we keep hold of him? He's got to leave if he wants to win trophies. It's never about appreciating the player, what he does for the club. And there's so much contradiction in the coverage as well. It's like a Spurs too reliant on Harry Kane. And then the next minute, Spurs need to sell him. Next minute, they can't sell him because Levy wants 120 million and no one can afford that in pandemic hit, you know, the world that exists now. So
thank God for COVID.
It's just, it's boring, but it's also at the same time, I can't get angry about it because it's exactly what I expect from the media. They've got, that's their level of creativity. And the reality is that there's a good chance he's going to leave. It's 50-50, isn't it, with most things in football. So them covering the story, it doesn't bring anything new to the table. It's not something you want to pick up and read and go, oh, well, that's really insightful. I've got a lot out of that. I understand. Yeah. It's bullshit fluff.
Kieran, where are you at?
Yeah, it does frustrate me. I try and not let it. It seems to be, yeah, it's on the lines of an obsession. I think it's weird to the level that it's often rammed down our throat. Like Spooky said, I think fans and Spurs fans react to it. Whether or not we're overly sensitive because he's ours, I don't think so. I think, as I said, it's a weird obsession. But if he come out and committed his future, he'd get his mentality questioned of why is he not looking to move. So I don't think he can ever win. But it's frustrating. I think I can handle it on Twitter and for newspapers. It's their job to report rumours, and as Spooky said, they'll report on what gets the most interaction, and clearly Spurs fans react to this, and rightly so most of the time. But it does really wind me up when it's part of sort of in post game analysis. The England one, the game yesterday, prime example. They've got a slot of 45 minutes or so after the game to analyse the game they've just watched. And I know international football is dead boring and there's not an awful lot to discuss, but to spend your time after that, pretty much one of the first things they spoke was Harry Kane's club future, is just, come on, guys. Like, you've got more things to discuss than that. And I think if his contract was up in the summer, you'd get it. But it's this whole new three-year conundrum thing, which we've never heard from any other player. So, yeah, it doesn't annoy me. It doesn't anger me, but it certainly does annoy me.
Luckily, you know, Roy Keane's opinions have an absolutely zero bearing on anything that's remotely pertinent in football. Like, him commenting on Harry Kane's future has no bearing on what Harry Kane's going to do, and certainly, more to the point, has no bearing on what Daniel Levy will do. Now, Harry Kane... And if I'm going from perspective of Harry Kane wants to leave Tottenham, I don't think that he does. And I'm just going to hold on to that because we don't know anything, do we? But if he'd said to Daniel Levy, you know what, I want to move on, I need a new challenge, then you'd say to him, that's, you know, from my perspective, that's fair enough. You've given us, you know, was it nearly 10 years of... No, how long has he been? Like seven or eight years?
He's been in the first team for what, 6 years, 6-7 years.
And if he fulfills his contract, it will be close to a sort of testimonial if those things were even, you know, relevant anymore. And you'd say, you know, fair enough, you know, you'd have to go. But right now, he signed a contract. He's got 3 more years left on that contract. He's worth 200 grand a week. And more if he, you know, given the fact the assists and the goals he's scoring, if we qualify for the Champions League, it probably is worth more like 200, 250. You can't just go. You can't.
That's the thing. I don't listen to too much about it because I just, again, maybe this is blind optimism, but I generally don't believe that we will lose him. Even if, as you say, he goes to Mr. Daniel Levy and says that he wants to leave for a new challenge, I don't think he'll have a choice. I don't, for what it costs with everything that's going on in the world at the minute financially, I personally don't think anyone's going to get him, whether or not that changes next season. But for now, this season, I just can't see it.
How much do you think he'd cost to buy, Kieran?
Billions.
What
would you put on it? Like, 200 million's being floated about. There's not any figure we could receive that would replace Harry Kane's ability and his worth to the team.
So what's going to happen is right now, with 3 years left on his contract, is like a conservative estimate on his value might be 120. Right, and that's conservative. then you've got to find somewhere out there, because Barcelona ain't going to do it. Real Madrid are not going to do it. Man City, if they do that, they'd have to shift out three or four players. Financial fair play is going to restrict the big players from actually buying a player like Harry Kane. And, in a way, if Harry Kane does want to leave, he's finding himself in a very difficult situation, because what he has to do is wait towards the end of the contract, and then you find his value in the transfer market diminished, not because he's not a great player, but because the contract doesn't protect the club anymore. So he's in a situation where he can negotiate himself then. So that Real Madrid or Man United or Man City can come in with a year left and say £50 million, that's your compensation for the last year of his contract. But it's 3 years. So Daniel Levy's never gonna say no. Harry Kane's never gonna say, I don't want to be here, you've got to let me go. I can't imagine that ever happening. If that happens, then this is a completely different conversation. But everything about how he's conducted himself, how he's been our a talisman and is involved in Spurs, and clearly has to be grateful for what the opportunity he's been given, and the multiple contracts he's been given. Every time he plays well, he gets a new contract. So he I can't imagine a world where he says, you've got to let me go. So if that doesn't happen, then we've got 2 years before we get £50 million for him.
So I think he'll sign an extension, personally. I think maybe he'll try and maybe his team will look for possible avenues in the summer. And as we said, that will probably end up being nothing. And then they'll look at it and say, look, Kane clearly loves the club. I think his motivation would be smashing every single record there is at Tottenham Hotspur and the Premier League. As fans, maybe that's just us saying that, but I do think it. And if we get, even if, as you said, Flav, if we get 2 years out of him and he leaves, then great, because he would have had 9 amazing years serving us.
Depends how you take his comments as well. We tend to look at it like a negative thing, because he's not committing to Tottenham, is he? He's saying, I'm going to see what happens. He's done that a couple of times at the beginning of the pandemic when he was interviewed by Jamie Redknapp, and he said the same thing then. He said he'd look to the future, but sometimes players do that as a means to an end to get the chairman to then come back in for like the ultimate contract. And then he's sorted. He's got, how many kids has he got now? He's had the third one. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
So he's, he's deep in Chigwell, I think. Does he want to uproot his family? Does he want to go abroad? Does he want to go up to Manchester? It might be that we're just burnt from every other player that we've idolised. The thing is, with every other player that we've idolised, the likes of Berbatov and Luka and Michael, I was going to say Michael Carrick and Robbie Keane then, but maybe not. But you get what I'm saying. You commit to these players and they don't really commit to the club. Whereas Kane, like you both said, is a different type of footballer and he's got a different type of connection. But I don't think he would ruin his legacy. And I think
he probably looks back to back to when he signed that 6-year contract, and that was great. And at the time he was flying, so it made sense. But probably looks back now and thinks, I gave too much power away at that point. Because you look now, what is he, 28 or so, 27, 28, and he's still got 3 years left. At this point, if he'd be like a year and a half left, then we would be shit. We'd be seriously thinking we're going to lose him in the summer. But the fact he did sign that big deal, he gave too much power over to Levy. So he's just, it doesn't worry me, these comments at all. He's not going to come out.
You say power over to Levy. He agreed to take a fucking gargantuan wage. And not that he's not worth it. He's definitely worth it. I have no issue with the contract that he's been given, but it isn't always the reason why clubs and Daniel Levy and whoever it might be, for whatever owner of whatever football club, the reason why they're willing to pay these incredible wages is so that they get leverage if that player wants to leave. So when Harry Kane signs that contract and, he says, I'm willing to accept £200,000 a week to stay at Tottenham for the next 4 years, he's also putting himself in a situation where he says that I'm also giving you leverage if I want to leave. So you can't have all the money and all of the options. So And we're talking about, and I've gone that way, but we're talking about the idea of Harry Kane leaving. But this is the same with anybody. Same with Dele Alli. You know, I'm sure Dele Alli's on good money, and he's in a situation now where he probably doesn't want to be at the football club. The manager doesn't want him, clearly. And Daniel Levy has signed him up to a contract. But the reason why the market is strong, the reason why the transfer market works in the way it does, is because of the Bosman ruling. It means that clubs have to protect themselves. Because of the Bosman ruling meant that players are going to get paid much more than their market value, because you want to protect your asset. And, you know, I think that sometimes there is like this kind of narrative about let the player leave. No. I mean, of course not. Why? Don't play the player what he wants and then say let the player leave. It's one or the other. Either you're going to play the player what he wants for his 5-year deal and then you've got leverage if he wants to leave, or you pay him less for a short amount of time if he's willing to accept that, when he has to risk injury and whatnot, and make it a sort of more free-flowing market. But it's just football. Like Roy Keane saying that Harry Kane has to leave Tottenham to achieve things. It might be 100% correct, but it's so out of touch of how football works. It's almost stupid. And the whole thing about that Sky Sports punditry, it's just nonsense. All the shit that comes out of their mouths is just, let's clip that up, let's put it on social media, let that get 100 million views or 100,000 views or whatever it might be. So it's really like we're talking about it. Of course we're going to talk about it, but it's really all just fucking bollocks. We got a question from Nick. He says, I don't want to sound like a Liverpool fan, but why do the media and what appears to be the majority of pundits try to sell our players, best players, when on? Also, are Kane's comments just smart posturing to sharpen Levy's and the board's mind nice and early ahead of next season? Do we, as Spurs fans, need to take a step back and just think we don't need to be as reactionary as we are, Kieran?
Possibly, yeah. I touched on it earlier that whether we're ever overly sensitive, it's difficult to take that step back when it's not only one of your players, but Harry Kane, who we sing the song, he's one of us playing the game. I don't think we are like other fans. He uses Liverpool as an example. I think we're in our right to take the stance that we do against this. I think it's rammed down our throat, as I said, so often. And it does seem like it is an agenda against Spurs. We've had it in the past. We're trying to move players on. Like, who are these guys? Who are they to tell us that Kane has to go on to achieve success? We spoke earlier about how you define success. No one knows what's in Harry Kane's mind. Of course, he wants to go on and compete for some of the biggest trophies in club and international. That's no denying that. Kane absolutely would want to do that. But I also think what would motivate him just as much is breaking all individual records. And for him, that would be success. So I think it's difficult to say that he solely would want to move to win trophies. But yeah, on the comments, I think we've said whether or not he's doing it to sharpen Levy's mind, I'm not sure he is. But at the same time, he'd be fully aware that if he come out and said, yeah, I'm going to be at Tottenham for the rest of my life, he's smarter than that. His team wouldn't advise him to do that. So that's as fans as what we want to hear. But realistically, like the Bow comments that come out last week, as much as we would love him to say, I love Tottenham, I'm going to be here forever, it's just not, it's not realistic.
Okay, on the Gareth Bale comments, Spooky, what do you make of this? Obviously, going into next season, legally, my contract says I have to go back to Real Madrid, which is what I stated, which I don't think is being disrespectful to anybody. That's legally what I have to do.
Why make the comment in the first place? I get you saying he was asked a question, he answered it, and there was a lot of that on Twitter as well, where people say, what are you getting excited about? He's just answered the question that, like, now Bale's come out, and rather than just fluff it over, he's just saying, well, legally, I have to go back. It's the way he delivered it. The kind of disassociation and the kind of little sly dig at Mourinho, like he said about getting away from club football to go to international football, and it was not too dissimilar to the way that he spoke about leaving Zidane at Madrid and coming over to Tottenham. So, it doesn't bother me, because I know, as much as I allowed the hype to wash over me when he came back and I bought into the little social media videos and all the Welsh mafia stuff, and it was like it was fun to watch, and we've got an iconic player back at Tottenham. Deep down, I know that he is a footballer, professional footballer. He's a bit of a mercenary, like a lot of them are, not all of them. And it was a way out, and it was a comfortable way out. He's coming back to a club he's played for. It didn't turn out to be very comfortable once he got here, because it took him practically the entire season to find form and get into the team. He's obviously got problems with Mourinho. Mourinho's got problems with him. So again, with these comments, the last thing that we want to hear, if you simplify it, is you don't want to hear a player detach himself from it when we've still got the business end of the season to go. He doesn't have to. I get what he's saying. I'm just factually telling. We get it, mate. You're just saying the reality of it. You don't have to. You can mask it up. You can say, well, I don't know. You know, I want to do my best for Tottenham, and I want to do my best for Wales. And then no one has got anything to talk about at that point. Whereas what he's done, he's kind of sort of said his mind is going back to fucking playing golf in the sun, almost. Do you know what I'm saying? He's like, and I get why the fragile, I mean, to go back to what we've been talking about, the reason all this content exists, the reason we all get agitated and passionate and we all got opinions is because we're playing this collective game. We're all logged into this singularity of bullshit and we all feed into it. And if you see a tweet, and it's something about Bale or Kane, if you do not react to it yourself, you're left out. So your ego is like, no, come on. Do some numbers here. And you reply to it and you respond to it. And then you're part of the problem, because you do it, your mate does it, it gets retweeted.
If you were Gareth Bale...
Twitter, I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, without doubt, 100%. But if you were Gareth Bale... you know, and you have this affinity with Tottenham Hotspur, you do, mm-hmm. and he's done wonderful things this season, let alone what he did in the six or seven seasons we had with him before. But as a person, he has a £13 million, or actually £15 million, I read, contract that Real Madrid have to fulfil. So why, if it was me, like, and I was playing for Spurs, and I had a £15 million paycheck over there, I would say nothing that would jeopardise that. And I could, if I don't jeopardise that, then I can still end up playing for Spurs next year or wherever else I want to play. So what I read, saying I wanted to be fit, I wanted to be playing football, I didn't take that as a disrespect to Tottenham at all. I took it as Gareth Bale being in this situation where he will not let Real Madrid have an inch. And so he shouldn't. Because Real Madrid have been... Like, think about how Real Madrid have poached our players. Like, in terms of etiquette and the way you behave and you know, and what you do in order to achieve. Like, Real Madrid do what they can.
They bully.
They bully because of the size of their football club, and they turn players' ears ahead, rather. And they get the player they want because they're Real Madrid. They use their leverage. What Gareth Bale's doing right now is saying... Yeah, you owe me £15 million. So I'm not, like, my agent, is it Barnett? I think it's Barnett.
Yeah, Jonathan Barnett.
Yeah.
Barnett is saying to him, look, just make sure that you're open or in terms of publicly saying, I'm ready to come back and become a fucking nightmare for you. Once I've been a nightmare for you for the last 18 months. You let me go for Tottenham, not your problem anymore. Tottenham are paying my wages. If you don't, let me stay at Spurs or sign for somewhere else. I'm going to come back and sit on the bench and become a nightmare once again. For Gareth Bale's perspective, he's played a blinder. He doesn't owe the press the quotables they want. And the bullshit you find from Sky Sports and BBC and whoever saying Gareth Bale is posturing. He's not involved in the betterment of Tottenham, whatever it might be, it's bullshit. The fact is, they owe him £15 million. They agreed to pay him this contract. He fulfilled it. He said, yes, I'll sign, and I will play out for the remainder of this contract for you unless you want to let me go. If you do, you have to pay me for the remainder of my contract. You agreed to, legally. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not done a thing wrong. And the people are fucking idiots. That's what it is. They're idiots. In terms of more business, Kieran, what did you make of the British Airways in discussions with Spurs over the naming rights of the stadium for £250 million. Imagine that, selling Kane, 120, British Airways, 250, all into Joe Lewis's pocket. All of it.
It's, yeah, it's, I don't know, it always makes me uneasy thinking of our stadium being named anything other than White Hart Lane, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You see some of the rumours you've had over the last however many years you've been in the new stadium. There'd certainly be a lot worse names than, say, the BA Stadium or whatever it is. I can't see it. I think their losses are something ridiculous this year. I can't see how they would then pump £250 million to a football club. But yeah, it's an interesting one that come up. There's certainly a lot of White Hart Plain was one that was flagged about that. That would work.
White Hart Plain, I can deal with that.
To Air is to Do would also work. So there's certainly the steps are there for it to work. As long as they buy into that. If not, then if they're just going to go with something bog standards, the BA Arena, BA Stadium, then I don't want it. But if they're willing to buy into those puns, then I'm all for it.
I think that I'm pretty sure that the fans have no sway at all. But the reality is when this, whoever ends up buying the sponsorship rights for the stadium, that Sky Sports, BT, BBC, Match of the Day, whatever it is, will say the Amazon Arena or the BA Arena or whatever it might be. But the most important thing is for Spurs fans to call it White Hart Lane, because it is still White Hart Lane. And I know the club did a lot to try and make it called, you know, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But all of us, every time I talk about that stadium, even though it isn't the old the stadium of old, even though I talk about it, every time I reference that stadium, it's White Hart Lane. And it will always be forever White Hart Lane. And
other clubs have... Sorry, go on, Flav.
No, go on, Kim, go.
Other clubs will try that. Like Everton, I've seen fans on Twitter of theirs, but they're getting this new stadium. They're still going to be calling it Goodison and whatnot. And as much as they want to believe that is the case, for us, like how many other clubs have built a stadium like we have on the exact same plot as their old? For us, we call it White Hart Lane because we want to believe it is, but it genuinely is as well. So yeah. It's not just us trying to keep that attachment to it. It's still the Park Lane. It's still the Paxton. The train station might not be called White Hart Lane anymore, but it is still. It was the same. The steps we took in there when it was White Hart Lane are exactly the same as it is now. Yeah. So yeah, as much as it's sad for it not to be named that officially, but for us, it's going to be the stadium for the rest of our lives. So for us, it's always going to be White Hart Lane.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think, I think people hold up what happened at Arsenal as like a benchmark of what happens with new stadiums. And you know they moved from Highbury to a place that was previously called Ashburton Grove, which I don't know if people notice who are listening to this podcast, was a dump. It's natural, like it was like a tip, a rubbish tip. And I noticed because I lived literally 200 yards from where their stadium is right now, and I used to knock about the Harvest Estate, which had four towers. And for a laugh as kids, we'd go up to the top of the towers and look out the window, smoke fags or whatever you used to do. And you used to look down and there was just shit everywhere. It was rubbish. It stunk. It literally was the worst place in North London. Like, it stunk. It was like, if you could be anywhere else on earth, you would choose it other than that mound of shit that was there. And Arsenal bought it and built their stadium on it, and which, you know, is perfect. So, the reality of their stadium shouldn't be called the Emirates because some, you know, airline decided to sponsor it and pay Arsenal over so many years to sponsor their stadium, and their fans so gleefully say, "Welcome to the Emirates. Come to the Emirates. Come to the Emirates. Come." Imagine us going, "Yeah, come to the British Airways Stadium next year. See what happens to you. See if you don't get your face smashed in. Come to the British Airways Stadium." That's not Tottenham. That's not what we're about. It will never be that. It will always be White Hart Lane. Arsenal fans will gleefully say the Emirates because, as we know, they're nothing.
If we're talking in literal senses, our stadium literally is White Hart Lane. You're talking the Emirates, what is theirs literally? A shithole. And that's what we know it as. And that's probably why they have adopted their new name.
We used to go up to the top of these council blocks and the stench from where the stadium now sits, it was unbelievable. We'd last 5-10 minutes up there, have a fag, wonderful, run down, because it would stink that much. All right, Kieran, thank you so much. If people want to find your podcast, how do they find it?
So we are Memory Lane Pod on Twitter. Yeah, drop us a follow. We're trying to release every other week. If you've got any ideas for famous games and whatnot, then please get in touch. We'd love to chat about them.
Talk to Spooky about his trip to Man City away.
Okay. Well, if we want, I saw him. His face froze there for a second. Yeah, exactly. He's going to re-invite Ricky in. Out of order.
I think I'm just raiding the fighting cock.
All right then, boys. Yeah, this has been fantastic, and we'll be back on Friday for a preview podcast, looking towards the game against Newcastle. Yes, I remember. Yeah, we've got to play Newcastle. And imagine, like, we beat Newcastle. Arsenal don't beat Liverpool. They're a long way off. Long way off. Very chipper. Kieran, Spook.
Cheers.
Take care, boys.
You too, mate.
Cheers, lads.
Up the Spurs. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. A Camo Tottenham. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.